All right, let's get into our interview with George Rabb. And let's get there listening to one of George's pieces, one of the original versions of his pieces. And then we'll be talking about the reworked versions that he'll be doing with the string quartet this coming Saturday night. So let's go into that, listening to How Do You Do? George Rabb, right on The Blend on 88.1 WDIY.
How do you do what you do after dealing with what's done? Smiling statue standing ground while I turn tail and run. How do you do what you do with the crap cards you're dealt? Turning deuces into kings while dealers bite the felt. Oh no, not me, I can barely talk. Oh no, not me, I can't chew gum and walk. How do you hear what you hear after hearing what you heard? Endless optimism despite cruel concluding word. How do you hear what you hear when all I hear is bunk? Pitching perfect melodies while others pitch out junk. Me while you sing, I shout, headphones roll tape, but no words come out. So talented, it makes you sick. So talented, it must be a trick. Out of the park with each at bat. Tell me, how can I? How do you see what you see after seeing what you saw? Effortless enjoyment while I stare with open jaw. How do you see what you see from every single side? Catching what you seek while I count ten and hide. Oh no, not me, what you are I ain't. Dub me, mediocrity's patron saint. So talented it makes you cry. So talented, such a nice guy, right through the goalposts with each attempt. Tell me, why do I feel exempt? Just when I thought I had the answers, one little question still. Kindly tell me, how do you do the things you do? So talented, it makes you think. So talented, it'll drive me to drink. Singular head, multiple hat. Tell me, why can't I breathe?
Yeah. yeah. George Rabb with How Do You Do from one of his earlier albums, Celia Canth. And that obviously involved a string quartet. And George is here in the studio with me to talk about his upcoming concert this weekend, where he will be performing with a string quartet. George, welcome. Thanks for coming in to WDIY.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
My great pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, sweet. How nice. No, on this chilly afternoon, it's nice to be amongst such warmth. Yay.
Ray, you do so many interesting things. I mean, you're an amazing character and just so multifaceted. And I guess, yeah, just for the audience's benefit, George, of course, is very well known as a drummer. He's also a guitarist. He's a vocalist. He's a band leader. He's a composer, both of songs and music. He runs an independent record label, Geologic Records. So, and that's even just part of what he does. And then you've had a huge, diverse musical career as well, George. And tell us, I was amazed to see you actually were the drummer in Eric Mintel's quartet back in 1998, and you performed at the Kennedy Center and at the White House with Eric Mintel.
Yeah, that was surreal to be in the White House, to be at a Christmas party in the White House, and to meet the president, President Clinton at the time, to meet him, to sort of chat with him for a second. It was pretty incredible. Eric is a phenomenally hardworking musician who manages to get these incredible gigs, and so I was lucky to work with him for a couple of years way back. Now it's way back, which I can't believe it's 18 years ago now. It's pretty incredible. No, 20 years almost, really. Yeah.
Long time. By the way, Eric Mintel will be sitting exactly where you are in 2 weeks' time. He will be my guest in 2 weeks' time. Frequent visitor here, and we'll be talking about an upcoming performance Eric has.
Excellent.
Yeah. Pretty good. It was with President Clinton, so he was quite a jazz fan, and Eric's music would have resonated well with him, I'm sure.
Yeah, the one comment the president made was he said that he's the only sitting president that can play the bridge to Take Five. Which we thought, okay, this guy's all right. He knows the songs, he knows the references, so that was good.
That was good, right?
As a sax player, yeah.
Anyway, that was really early, way back, as we said, but you're possibly best known as a drummer in the Philadelphia Funk Authority, but you also run your own band, largest band, the Geologic Orchestra.
Right, yeah, the Philadelphia Funk Authority, that's also going on almost 20 years now, which I also can't believe. But that's my quote-unquote day job. I always say that's my, sort of...
Your inverse day job.
My inverse day job, yeah. The day job that I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, and been doing that, playing drums with them locally in the Valley and all around, sort of up and down the East Coast here. Very lucky to do that with a bunch of great musicians, really great people, really great characters, playing some really fun music. I've seen you boogieing at many a gig.
Absolutely.
Always down front dancing. I always love seeing you, Bill.
Hey, you lay down a real good groove, and you're really, really good to dance to. A couple of years back, you formed another new band as well, the Blue Turtles, right?
That was sort of for a Sting tribute concert that we did. I had seen another tribute concert that was done, and I thought, oh, this would be fun to do. What would be fun to do? What would be a fun project? And I thought, oh, let's do Sting. So we ended up playing that entire album top to bottom, also at the Ice House. That was a year and a half, 2 years ago now. Just sort of a fun experiment, and got to reconnect with my college professor, Neil Wetzel, who was a sax player,
and fun.
He ended up joining the Philadelphia Funk Authority. So that worked out really great.
Excuse me. Well, all these connections.
It's neat.
And, of course, you perform solo playing guitar rather than drums and with a trio. Solo and with a trio, I think,
yeah,
right?
I got the three-piece. I've got the nine-piece version. Sort of those don't happen that often, but I do a lot of solo work, usually with guitar, usually wearing guitar and trying to sing songs.
Yeah, and you have a fine voice and your guitar work. I mean, spare, but sort of...
Oh, that's very nice.
It has character.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'm one of the better guitarists to play my music. That's pretty much how I look at it. So,
a good way. You've done a whole range of different works, and let's just touch on a few of these, and then we'll start talking about how you've rearranged your own music and the upcoming concert. But I remember you did your the occasional songs for the periodic table, and you performed 118 songs.
Yeah, 118 mini songs, one song per element. That was last year, almost exactly to the day. It was the 22nd of January last year.
So, are you updating? There's two more now, right?
I keep finding. Yeah, there's since I wrote this piece, which was 5 years ago. I guess I finished it. They've four more have been found. So Ununoctium and Unupentium now have official names, and they're waiting to make them official in the whole deal. So I have to update that at some point. At some point, I'll do that. But
it's on your radar. Right?
It's on my agenda. Yeah, at some point.
I was surprised to see from your extensive Wikipedia bio, you did an Australian and New Zealand tour back in 2010.
Yeah, I've been incredibly fortunate that I've done tours in I had a Scandinavian tour that I did. I did this Australian tour. I was back there last year again, sort of with the same people, doing science conferences as well as some concerts and some performances. And yeah, New Zealand is just everything you've heard about New Zealand is truer than you could possibly imagine. It's just beautiful. Australia as well. I mean, we got to see where they filmed Lord of the Rings. We got to see these caves, these Waitomo caves that have these glowworms. I mean, it's mind-numbing stuff. It's another planet. It really is another planet. So the fact that I get to go do that because of my podcast or because of the silly songs that I've written is pretty mind-numbing.
Yeah, so without the internet, none of this would be happening,
right? Oh, forget about it. It's incredible. Yeah. The internet is just, it's. I know it's sort of got its price that we pay for its accessibility. Mm. But yeah, the fact that I have been literally all over the planet with who I consider friends, even though I've only met them for, 10, 12, 18 hours in total. But these are dear, dear friends that I keep in touch with through the web and through podcasting.
All right. And so you mentioned podcasting. You have a weekly podcast. You call it your geologic podcast.
Podcast. Yeah. No geology whatsoever. But me telling stories and talking about music and science and kind of being silly, being a fan of science, being a fan of critical thinking, as well as telling band stories, telling music stories, rating movies, things like that. Almost 9 years now I've been doing that podcast.
Wow. And that led on to you giving one of the TEDx talks at this year's Lehigh River.
Right,
TEDx,
one of those connector things that I never quite expected, but I had heard that they were having a TEDx event and they were auditioning speakers. So I sort of begrudgingly went and was convinced by a very close friend to go do it. So I did it, auditioned and got it, and ended up having a really, really fun time. It was really wonderful.
That's available on the web from the TEDx?
That's on YouTube, yeah. If you just Google my name and put in TEDx, H-R-A-B and TEDx on YouTube, it'll come up.
All right. Okay, look, I think we've covered a large mixture of your diverse projects. Let's get on to this new project now.
Sure.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's the Broad Street Score. I realized that I've been writing music. I live on Broad Street here in Bethlehem, and I've been writing music for 20 years. And something sort of clicked in me to try to put together kind of a best of, but to do it in a different way, to do it not just in sort of a traditional standard greatest hits collection, but what would be an interesting way to repackage this music and see if there's a connective thread between it all. And I thought, since I had done the piece that you played, How Do You Do, that was back from 2001, I thought, wouldn't it be neat to maybe reorchestrate my songs in that format? So string quartet and voice, to kind of let the songs breathe on their own, let the message and the lyrics really come through. Would this even be possible? Is it something that could be done? Is it within the possibilities of not just budgetary constraints, but time and players and availability? And as with most projects that I try, you sort of just dive in, and whatever problems you may encounter, you just sort of try to zen-like let them swish by you and get to the end that you want to sort of achieve. So I got in touch with my dear, dear friend, Slough Hallatin, who was kind of my engineer, my co-producer, who's engineered all my albums. He's an amazing singer-songwriter. He was the singer for the Sting project. Mm-hmm. So he did the Sting imitation, quote-unquote, for that, and said, would you be interested in orchestrating? Because he had done the orchestration for How Do You Do, the piece that you just played. And he said that he was definitely interested, but he didn't know if he could commit fully. So I said, all right, well, you'll do half, and I'll find someone else. I put out a general call on Twitter, of all places, saying, hey, I'm looking for an orchestrator. Who's into it? Who's available? Who knows someone? Who knows someone? Get in touch. A fan of my podcast happened to look at my website, not even Twitter, looked at my website where there is a tweet window that's open there, saw that I was calling for something. And this gentleman from Finland, of all places, Veiko Rihu, got in touch, said, I'm really interested. I'm a violinist. I'd love to orchestrate some of your pieces. I said, okay, send me 30 seconds of a piece. I picked a random song. And then the next morning in my inbox was like 2.5 minutes of this beautiful orchestration. And I thought, all right, you got the job. So between Slough and Veiko, the two of them have rearranged and done these brilliant, wonderful new arrangements, completely sort of refreshing the songs and yet keeping the spirit and character of them totally intact. So it's 14 songs that are kind of presented as a story, there's not a direct narrative, but there is kind of an arc to it, and it's about me kind of living here, trying to figure out how life works, and pretty much failing, but learning a couple things along the way.
George, you've whetted our appetite to listen here, right? So what you've very kindly provided here is a phase-in of starting off with the original version of the song,
yeah,
and then fading into the new string quartet,
right, sort of
orchestra.
It goes back and forth here to sort of show you that the arrangements kind of allow, like I said, for the pieces to breathe. The first one you have there is a song called When I Was Your Age, and that's a song that I wrote for my niece and nephew, kind of wondering or talking about what's different from their time now at 10 years old and my time at 10 years old, and how a lot of things are different, but actually a lot of things aren't that different either. So you'll hear it kind of go back and forth. It starts with the original about halfway through the song, and it fades back and forth between the two.
When I was your age, you had to wait till a movie was either in the theater or on TV. You couldn't rent an adventure. If you want an adventure, you just had to wait and see. And once you were watching, you couldn't stop or pause or even try to rewind. But hey, we didn't mind. When I was your age. Singing from the stage, I bet you can't believe I was ever your age. I was your age. When I was your age, I loved watching Star Wars.
Beautiful job of doing the phasing in from one to the other. And,
oh, no, it's fun. It's kind of fun to A-B, and that's a Slough arrangement, and you sort of hear his – he's not a string player, but you hear his influence in terms of – he's a big fan of the Beatles, obviously, so there's kind of this George Martin romantic kind of sense to it, which is sort of fun. And again, there's no drums, there's no guitars, there's no – and actually in the concert there's going to be no amplification. We're going – fully acoustic, which I think is a very important aspect of the performance, to be 100% acoustic, to kind of let everyone lean in and really experience the vibration of air molecules coming off of instruments and off of a voice. It's a very different thing.
And off the walls of the venue there.
And off the walls of the beautiful venue, the Ice House.
The Ice House,
yeah.
Is beautiful. It has beautiful acoustics.
I just love it there.
I was meaning to ask you whether it would be acoustic or not. So
Yeah. It's sort of a conscious decision to really, you don't get to see many performances that are purely acoustic anymore, especially kind of in a pop, you know, song setting. Lots of classical concerts, obviously. But this, I really wanted it to be purely acoustic. So the next example I have there, which I think is at Barney's in the Vent. Is that what's next, I believe? Yeah. Barney's in the Vent.
That was
the song that I told Vaco. I kind of challenged him. I said, all right, this is a straightforward rock song. If you can come up with the first 30 seconds or so, send it back to me and let me hear what you come up with. And his solution to keep the energy, the manic kind of rock energy, without directly copying or fully copying what it is, I thought was brilliant. So it's a very pretty straightforward rock song. You'll hear that in the beginning, and we'll phase back and forth between the two versions.
Okay, let's take a listen. Barney's in the Vent.
Barney's in the Vent.
eye, the sweaty forehead and bit lip, when something goes awry. Sit today or still last week, the camera doesn't show. You can see right through all the cards, the patsy doesn't know.
So you see his solution there. It's kind of he provides kind of a manic energy with sort of the pizzicati plucking of the strings.
Yeah.
But there's still this sort of nice and the riff is there, that kind of heavy riff that comes across. And that song in particular, that song happens to be about the show, the television show Mission Impossible, the 60s television show, which I adore. Mm-hmm. The movies are their own thing and that's fine. That show I absolutely adore. So that's what that song is about. And in a weird way, the string version almost is better because it's sort of more spy-like, more manic, more secretive than the straightforward rock version. So
right.
When I got that in my inbox, I was floored at how great it was. And I told Vaco right away, you got the gig. You totally have the gig.
I mean, it's almost got more energy than the rock version.
Absolutely.
Right,
yeah.
And the propulsion of the strings,
the
darkness and the depth.
It's neat. It's really neat how sometimes, you know, the old thing of less is more really applies sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely does. That was really nice. Wow. And the Rittenhouse Strings, that's them performing with you on this recording?
Actually, this is a very, very decent sequencer that's playing these parts here. So they will be playing, obviously. This is sort of the demos that we just sort of did. Yeah, it's pretty scary how great the sampled sounds have gotten in the last five, eight years. It's pretty incredible. So, those are samples, but there is a certain energy and a certain something about the human actual players performing it, which adds a whole other level of excitement and energy to it.
So tell us a little bit about the Rittenhouse Strings and how did you hook up with them?
Yeah, it was sort of a recommendation. The cellist, Alyssa Gilmar, I had performed with her years ago with Satori, which is the fantastic local group, Nora Suggs, her collective of musicians. We did a Claude Bowling concert, the jazz suites, the Claude Bowling jazz suites. I played drums for that. And Alyssa, in one of those concerts, played the bass part on cello. I had asked Nora when I had thought of this performance, could she recommend anyone? She recommended Alyssa and also Karen Banos, who runs the Rittenhouse String Organization. I got in touch and I sort of said, this is the idea I have and this is the budget I have and is this possible? And Karen was very open and excited to sort of to do it. So it worked out that way. It was kind of a cold call, but I sent her a bunch of YouTube clips. I sent her How Do You Do? And some early drafts of the music to sort of show that I'm aware of what's involved in terms of writing a string chart and that I wasn't totally random maniac calling in. Just a somewhat, two shades away maniac calling.
A non-random maniac.
Yes, non-random. Yeah, totally. a known maniac calling.
Let's take a listen to the third one you've done here. It's a reworking of your God Is Not Great.
Another song of mine, God Is Not Great. That's the first track on Trebuchet, which is my last studio album. A song originally written using the Christopher Hitchens book title. This is an arrangement by Slough. Again, you'll sort of hear going from the semi-loud and energetic rock, kind of very drum-driven, tom-driven song versus what Slough has decided to do with the arrangement. And it allows the message, again, to come to the forefront even more than it is in the original.
Some, it's no fun. Pounding my fists at the gate. God is not great. I'll plainly state, it's not too late. Maybe it is. God's way too mean. Fight. quite enough of this bad play. Yet they stay day after day. Less logic, more latrine. God's way too mean. I'll calmly scream and cause a scene. And in a way, it's a shame that some folks would remain.
Well, that sounded really nice as well. And you just said Beatles influences there, and yeah, I heard strains of shades of Eleanor Rigby and George Martin string arrangements.
Yeah, I mean, that's the gold standard, you know. If you can even sort of remotely shine the shoe of George Martin and what he did with the Beatles, that's great. And Slough is just so incredibly, both Slough and Veaco are just so skilled and talented. And what's lovely is their approaches are a little bit different. You know, again, Slough not being a string player isn't approaching it from a pedagogy type, you know, attitude. Whereas Veaco is making them really playable and fun. Slough, and beautiful to hear. Slough is sort of more interested kind of in the straightforward arranging. Plus, Slough was much more familiar with my music than Veaco was, because mm-hmm. he was there at the, you know, recording it.
Yeah.
So he knows it, and he's much more on the inside. So I think it's a lovely contrast. And the way the program plays out, you kind of go back and forth between this straightforward string player's take versus this orchestrator's take back and forth. And it provides I think it's a nice counterpoint and counterpart to the whole concert experience.
Will Veaco be coming in from Finland?
No, unfortunately, he can't be there for the concert. He was here 2 weeks ago, though. He had to go to another conference in Las Vegas, and on his way out, he stopped by. So he got to go to one rehearsal. So we did go to Philly, and the three of us went and met with the Rittenhouse Strings, and he was there for that. So we did get to meet everybody, which was nice, and got to see Bethlehem. I got to walk him around Bethlehem, gave him the big tour. And, yeah, he'll be back in the spring. We might be doing this again in New York City, so he'll be back for that.
All right. Will you be recording on Saturday night?
We'll be doing a reference recording, not an official recording, and the idea will be to eventually do a recording of this. This will be probably the next album. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it works on Sunday. This is the very first time it's the premiere.
Sunday?
I'm sorry, Saturday.
Thank you.
Saturday, yeah. Sunday's on my head because of the snow that's coming.
Right.
Unfortunately, there is this storm which is coming. So we do have a snow date of the 24th, Sunday, which if it's really bad, we will reschedule for Sunday, which if people pay attention to my Twitter feed and my Facebook feed, we will let people know if it has to be rescheduled, because this storm that's coming in is apparently could be kind of nasty. So,
and that's expected Saturday afternoon, right?
Saturday, yeah, unfortunately.
So currently the concert is scheduled for as part of the Ice House Tonight series. It's scheduled for this Saturday evening at the Ice House right here in the center of Bethlehem on Sand Island, beginning at 8 p.m., right?
8 o'clock, yes, yep. 8 o'clock.
And tickets are available through Ice House Tonight.
Tickets you can get at the door, or you can go to broadstreetscore.eventbrite.com. And Eventbrite is spelled with B-R-I-T-E. So
right. They're the ticket agency, right?
They're a great internet ticketing agency. So again, broadstreetscore.eventbrite.com. But tickets should be available at the door as well.
Okay, sounds good. And Sunday, 8 p.m. again?
8 p.m. on Sunday again, if we have to reschedule. And if you, I'm George Hrab on Twitter, H-R-A-B. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me. Or just hear the panicked shouts coming out of my apartment. That'll be pretty much audible throughout the Lehigh Valley if we have to reschedule for Sunday. So,
okay. All right, George, thank you for coming in and giving us, really whetting our appetite for this. Certainly my appetite is whetted. The arrangements sound beautiful.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm staggered what you've done here. And take us out. We're going to go out with this version now, a complete string quartet version of one of your earlier pieces.
Yes.
Do you want to lead us into it?
So again, this is we heard a little back and forth at the beginning of this segment, but this will be the full string version of the song called When I Was Your Age. And again, this talks about what was different, or me singing to my 10-year-old niece and nephew and sort of explaining what was different and maybe what wasn't different. But this is the Broad Street Score arrangement, which again will be on Saturday at the Ice House. Hope you can all make it.
Good. I hope you will too. I certainly intend to be there. Let's go out listening to it. When I Was Your Age, the string quartet version.
When
When I was your age, the phone was tied to the wall with a kinky, twisty, 3.5-foot cord. It's hard to believe, but it had a ring that could not be turned off or ignored. We couldn't choose the sound of the ring, it was just the sound we called the phone. We'd never heard of a ringtone. When I was your age, our video games looked nothing like the illustrations on the box. All of the graphics consisted of nothing more than simple lines and dots. Missiles were just a few pixels, and the jungle swinging guy was a stick figure. Nothing bigger. When I was your age. I was your age. When I was your age, we had this stuff called film. You would stick in a camera before you took a shot, and then you had to wait like a month until you could tell what pictures you got. You would hand the film to a guy in a parking lot who lived in a booth. Oh yes, it's the truth. Your age, you had to wait till the movie was either in the theater or on TV. If you wanted adventure, you couldn't rent adventure, you just had to wait and see. And once you were watching, you couldn't stop or pause or even try to rewind. But hey, we didn't mind. When I was your age. Singing from the stage, I bet you can't believe I was ever your age. I was your age. When I was your age, I loved watching Star Wars, but I hear you like Star Wars more than me. I wanted to be Indiana Jones, and Dr. Jones is who you aspire to be. And I loved playing with Lego, and Lego are what you currently build and rearrange. I guess some things never change. When I was your age, I didn't like doing homework, but when it was finished, it always felt real good. I didn't like brushing my teeth, but I brushed my teeth because Bert and Ernie said that I should. I didn't like listening to Mom, though I knew deep inside it was the right thing to do. And hey, so do you. You know what's true before you can say boo. Be my age too.
Yeah, George Crabb, vocals with his string quartet, and that was totally with the string quartet version. And you have the chance to hear that this coming Saturday night, weather permitting, this Saturday night, 8 p.m. at the Ice House as part of the Ice House Tonight series. Superb having George in to explain what he's done here and provide all these superb samples that phased from the original to the string quartet version. So be sure to get down there Saturday night. It will really be well worth it. All right, time right now is about 3:34 p.m. I've got some Maura Kennedy lined up for you. Yeah, Maura Kennedy from her latest album, Villanelle, the songs of Maura Kennedy and BD Love. I'll have that coming up right after this.
All Things Considered isn't simply a recap of the day's news. We explore different angles on the day's stories, with depth and perspective beyond the usual headlines. When you listen, you'll discover something you didn't know, hear a perspective that might surprise you, and learn how lives of ordinary people are affected around the world. Expect to know more every afternoon, All Things Considered, from NPR News.
Tune in every weekday at 4 p.m. following The Blend for All Things Considered on WDIY.
Next up, Maura Kennedy with The Soldier's Wife from her latest album, Villanelle, right here on The Blend, 88.1 WDIY.
Two lovers steer their tiny boat across a field of blue. Green of ancient pines, the lover's world is just these two. A young man's arms command the oars, his lover's laughter chimes. The forest hears and echoes back, the lover's world in chestnut rhyme. At water's edge, the minnows nip my toes. I dream of you, your face, your kiss. What I cannot, the future knows. Two lovers reach their private shore, an island theirs for. Each other in their arms, and they profess a silent vow. My darling soldier, come home soon. My heart is carved in a thousand cheeks. My soul is trembling. Flames will roar and happy voices rise. They'll trade their pitchy harmonies, and in my tone won't recognize a yearning sad and simple shade. I'm here and yet apart. So I make my silent vow, my hand, your hand, my heart, your heart. My darling soldier, come home soon. My heart is carved in a thousand dreams. My soul is trembling when your voice still whispers.
We'll be right back. traigo cosa rica. Ella espera con todo cariño, me da su bombón y yo le doy lo mío. Yeah. Poquito para aquí, poquito para allá, poquito para arriba, poquito para abajo, poquito para aquí, poquito para allá, se van hasta cumbia. Poquito para aquí, poquito para allá, poquito para arriba, poquito para abajo, poquito para aquí, poquito para allá, se van hasta cumbia. Yo soy un hombre, me gusta lo bueno y gozar también con la de mis sueños. Ya me anda por mi morena, yo la quiero ver y darle cosa buena. Oye, poquito para aquí, poquito para allá, poquito para arriba, poquito para abajo, poquito para aquí, poquito para allá, se va hasta cumbia. Poquito para aquí, poquito para allá, poquito para arriba, poquito para abajo, poquito para aquí, poquito para allá, se va hasta cumbia.
Serenade the madness. Tonight we just for whores. I don't need forgiveness. There's nothing left to lose. So now it's time to see how much damage I can do.
Mariachi El Bronx from their self-titled album number 3, ending out that set with the lead-off track New Beat. We got the Mexican feel going prior to that with Los Lobos from their latest album Gates of Gold, Poquito Para Aquí, the piece we heard from Los Lobos. And we kicked off that set with Maura Kennedy, her latest album, her latest solo recording, Villanelle, the songs of Maura Kennedy and BD Love. Nice set of songs there that she's put together with the poet BD Love. Time right now, approaching 3:47 p.m. That means we've only got about 13 minutes left of the blend, taking you up until 4 p.m. to NPR's All Things Considered, which will take you through until 6 p.m. And on Tuesdays, we remain with NPR for On the Media until 7 p.m. And then at 7 p.m., we return to WDIY's produced music programming with Live from Godfrey Daniels. All that coming your way right here on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. Let's see, I have a beautiful album from Charles Lloyd and the Marvels featuring Bill Frisell lined up for you right after a couple of messages.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Ice House Tonight, a performing arts series featuring George Rabb presenting the Broad Street Score, a song cycle for string quartet and voice, Saturday, January 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Charles A. Brown Ice House. For information, 610-653-3462 or icehousetonight.com.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors for more than 25 years getting people where they want to be financially, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution on the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Well, I hope you were tuned in earlier between 3 and 3:30 when we had a nice extended interview with George Rabb talking about the concerts that you just heard about in that announcement. All right, let's head towards 4 p.m. with something from the jazz saxist Charles Lloyd, who's now in his late 70s or maybe 80-ish and sounding better than ever to my ears. And he's put together a band with a number of younger musicians, but in particular the guitarist Bill Frisell and the steel guitarist Greg Lice working together with him. And the track I'm going to play you features Nora Jones on vocals. Nora Jones, of course, heard frequently here on The Blend. She's doing the vocals with this magnificent band performing You Are So Beautiful. You Are So Beautiful from Charles Lloyd and the Marvels and Nora Jones right here on The Blend, 88.1 WDIY.
Mm-hmm. me. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? Everything I hoped for, you're everything I need. You are so beautiful to me.
Oh,
Well, we're going out to the Blend this afternoon, listening to a short track, a second track from the Charles Lloyd and the Marvels album, doing a version of Abide With Me. Before that, we heard from the Stereophonics, Fight or Flight, from their new album, Keep the Village Alive, and we kicked off the set with Charles Lloyd and the Marvels that you're hearing now from the same album, You Are So Beautiful, that featured Norah Jones on the vocals, and of course Bill Frisell on some gorgeous guitar work. NPR's All Things Considered coming up in just a moment.
Impatient presidents don't get to change the law simply because they've run out of patience with Congress.
The Supreme Court says it will review President Obama's executive order on immigration.
It's Tuesday, January 19th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Robert Siegel. President Obama wants to suspend deportation for some 5 million immigrants. Now that plan is in doubt.
Also this hour, tracking a tuberculosis outbreak in Alabama.
The cases were not willing to share the names of the people that they had been around, so we really didn't know who to test.
Precocious kids keep popping up to ask questions at Clinton campaign events.
I've always wanted to ask that question to someone who could help it. And I thought, why not just ask Hillary Clinton?
And later, checking in on a plan to cut pollution in New Delhi.
Those stories in this hour of All Things Considered after the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The U.S. Supreme Court plans to weigh in on whether the Obama administration can grant temporary leave.